Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. This fifth Sunday after Easter and the 3 days that follow preceding Ascension Day have commonly been known in the church as Rogation Days. The name is taken from the Latin word rogare, which means to ask. So these days are really special days of prayer, especially drawing upon our gospel lesson where Jesus talks about asking the Father. Along those lines, one of the most perplexing subjects of the Christian life is the ongoing reality of unanswered prayers. The idea is intensified by the fact that Jesus tells us quite solemnly in our gospel text, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you." This sounds like an absolute promise. How do we square what Jesus promises here with our own experience where so many of our prayers seem to go unanswered? The church helps us to understand this by appointing a second passage on the same subject from Jesus at morning prayer. It should also be noted that this same text that we're getting ready to talk about is appointed for the gospel lesson on Rogation Days. So if you come on Wednesday, this will be the text that we'll read for our gospel lesson. It's found in St. Luke chapter 11. The chapter opens with the disciples of Jesus approaching him and asking him how to pray. And this is where Jesus teaches them what we call the Lord's Prayer. He then goes on to tell them a parable, which is to encourage them to persist in prayer, to keep on praying. And then he adds some further truths regarding prayer, and that's really what I want us to focus on this morning. He says, "And I say to you, ask, and it shall be given you." That sounds almost like the previous statement, right? "Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give for a fish a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" There are at least two truths here which help us to better understand Jesus' statement about receiving what we ask for. The first truth which this passage helps us to understand about prayer is that we are making our petitions to our Father in heaven. Of course, that's the opening of the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father. Listen again to what Jesus said in the previous statement from our gospel lesson. "Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father." This is a subtle but important truth which can help us to better understand prayer, that when we approach God in prayer, we are coming as children to a loving Father. In making this point, Jesus uses an analogy from human life. If a son should ask for bread from his father, would he give him a stone instead? Or if he should ask for a fish, would he give him a serpent? Or if the son asked for an egg, would he give him a scorpion instead? The obvious answer to all of these questions is no, of course not. And Jesus then offers a contrasting analogy. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Jesus is saying that if human fathers who are fallen by nature, if we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more does our Heavenly Father know how to give good gifts to his children? Maybe we can state this in the positive by saying that God is not going to give anything to his children that would harm them. He always gives what is good to his children. The second truth which Jesus teaches us is related to this. God is willing to give us his greatest gift, namely the Holy Spirit. This statement helps us to see why this text is appointed for this particular time in the church year. We're fast approaching the commemoration of Christ ascending back into heaven on this Thursday, and then 10 days later, we're going to commemorate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the Feast of Pentecost. So the church is getting us to really anticipate and think about these events. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate gift that God has given for his children. Just remember, last week in our gospel lesson, in a passage just a few verses before what we read today, Jesus told his disciples, and told us, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter, meaning the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. The Holy Spirit is given to us as a result of the redeeming work of Jesus Christ for us. And St. Paul in Romans chapter 8 has some wonderful things to say about this. He tells us that the Spirit of God is really the spirit of adoption, whereby we are enabled to call upon God in prayer, Abba, Father. He also tells us later in that same 8th chapter of Romans that God's ultimate purpose for us is to conform us into the image of his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. God's greatest gift to us is the Holy Spirit. So even though we might hear Jesus' words, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you, and think, great, I can ask for anything I want, he's bound to give it to us. Now, that's really not what Jesus is saying here. That's not the way we should think of this. Rather, we should come to understand that this promise is qualified by the fact that God is our loving Father and that his ultimate purpose is to conform us into Christ's image, which, of course, he accomplishes by giving us this great gift of the Holy Spirit. This can help us with the perplexing truth that many of our prayers go unanswered. Maybe God doesn't answer some of our requests because ultimately they would not be good for us. And they likely do not fit in his overall purpose for us. One commentator goes so far as to say this: there is no such thing as unanswered prayer. The answer given may not be the answer we desired or expected, but even when it is a refusal, it is the answer of the love and the wisdom of God. Sometimes the most loving answer that a father can give to his child's request is no. Now, I'm afraid that somewhere along the way in our culture, we've forgotten this truth. Somehow, parents saying no to their children is not a good thing, but I assure you it is a good thing. But if a father loves his child and wants what is best for him, he knows from his greater perspective that if he gives certain things to his child that he asks for, it will not ultimately be for his good. If that's true of earthly fathers, how much more when you consider our Heavenly Father who knows all things. Typically, it is only in hindsight that we can perceive why God did not answer some of our prayers. A truth which, if you listen to country and western music, Garth Brooks figured this out a long time ago. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Today, let us be reminded that when we approach our loving Heavenly Father in prayer, that he is predisposed to giving what is good for us. We can rest in this truth, and it can temper our expectations concerning our prayer requests. And as we approach our commemoration of the ascension of Christ and the subsequent outpouring of the Holy Spirit in just a few days, let us thank God for the greatest gift he could give us, the Spirit of adoption. The Holy Spirit enables us to call God our Father, and his preeminent work in us is to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. With these truths in mind, we can rest in the fact that whatsoever we shall ask the Father in the name of Christ, he will give it to us. Amen. Now let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."